There may be times when you're having Bible studies with individuals and you present what you believe about a particular verse, and at the same time they present what they believe about the same verse and its opposite beliefs. Two different things are being said about the same verse. And sometimes the person responds with, "Well, we just can't see the Bible alike. We cannot understand the Bible alike." I know that when you have discussions with friends and coworkers, sometimes that statement comes up. Or different religious things are being discussed, and, "Well, we just really can't understand the Bible alike, and so that's just going to be the way it is. Let's love God and let's, you know, hope for the best in the judgment day. We're just not going to, you know, see eye to eye on what the Bible says." So this morning, I want to answer the question, can we understand the Bible alike? Or you may have this situation where a person was raised with a particular religious belief and they hear things that are different than the way they were raised. And they're hesitant to accept different teachings because they may be thinking, "Well, we really can't understand the Bible alike, and the way I was raised could be right. The way he was raised could be right. We really don't know because we can't see eye to eye on certain things in God's Word. So let's just simply leave it at that." So it really is a very important question that I want to examine both this morning and this evening. This morning we want to present the positive case that we can indeed see the Bible alike. We can read a Bible verse and we can come to an agreement on what that verse says. This evening we want to look at the negative side of this and why is it that many people do not see the Bible alike? What attitudes are present that keep them from seeing God's Word alike? We will be examining that, Lord willing, this evening. And so it's a common statement, and I believe many people in the world are convinced. They've been told by the pastor or the preacher or others or maybe friends. They've just heard it so much through their life, and they're convinced that we cannot understand the Bible, or especially we can't understand it alike. I mean, we get close. We can come to 90%, you know, but there's going to be 10% there. There's little bits of things that we're just not going to see eye to eye on. And many people, I believe, are convinced of that. And we need to understand that that leads to a dangerous consequence. I can think of three. First of all, the Scripture says that people will be lost when they remain ignorant, who know not God and who obey not the gospel. They're going to be lost. And so this idea of not understanding the Bible, well, then that means that I'm ignorant in certain areas. And if I'm ignorant, I'm going to be lost. Number two, the problem with this approach is that those of us who believe we understand the Word of God, we know a lot of things about God's Word. If we take this approach that we can't understand the Bible alike, we're going to be vulnerable to false teaching. We're going to be open to false teaching that comes along. And John says, be careful that there are many deceivers that are gone out into the world. And this idea is that, well, here comes somebody and they're preaching and they're teaching something, and it's a little different than what I believe. I know a lot of things about God's Word, but this is something a little different. And since we really can't understand the Bible alike, he may be teaching the truth. And then we're led off down the wrong path. And then number three, and I believe that much of the religious world is found in this particular area, and that is that with this idea that we can't understand the Bible alike, then really what is being promoted is division all over the religious world. You know, you see Acts 2:38 that way, and I see it another way, and you see Mark 16 where Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, you know, you see it as Jesus establishing the church. I see it as Peter being made the first pope. And that's just the way it's going to be. You know, there's just going to be all kinds of religious division. As long as we love Jesus and we love God and we want to go to heaven, really, you know, we're not going to see the Bible alike on 100%. You know, every verse, every word of every verse, that's just virtually impossible. And so let us agree to disagree, and we'll have our different religious bodies based upon my sincere desire to want to know what this verse means. It's dramatically different than what you say it means, but for my religious group, this is the best we can do with this. I say that baptism is not necessary. You say that it is. We can lovingly and joyfully worship God in our tradition and in our understanding. You do the same in yours, even though it's dramatically opposed. And in the judgment day, I mean, we're all going to be one happy family, and God will understand all of that, and it'll be fine. Don't worry about all of that. And so it's the idea of division really is promoted, even though God says to be of the same mind and the same judgment and one body of truth and all that. That's really, practically, that's not going to happen. And so let's just simply do the best we can in the religious tradition that we were given to by our parents. And we're not going to condemn you. You don't condemn us. And why wouldn't that be okay? I mean, we all love Jesus. And don't try to come and make me understand it the way you do, and I won't try to make you understand it the way I do. And so it really sort of boils down to these things. People are going to be lost. People are going to be vulnerable to false teaching, and division will just, it'll just be inevitable. And we see hundreds and hundreds of religions all over the world. And so we do need to come to terms and come to grips with this very important question. Can we understand the Bible, number one, and especially, can we understand it alike? Well, let's turn to God's Word to help us understand this. I'm not going to set forth my opinion. You could go in Springfield and all over and ask the question. You get all kinds of opinions. The only way we know to answer this question properly is to turn to God's Word. And when we do, I want us to look at three things. The answer to this question is yes, we can understand the Bible, and we can understand the Bible alike because of three things. First of all, because of the nature of God Himself. Stop and think about it. God is perfect in every way. He does not lie. He does not make mistakes. He does not say one thing over here and change His mind over here. And so because of the nature of God, what you're holding in your hands is a document that has to be like God Himself. We're all in agreement that God is perfect. But what is the consequence of that? He's going to reveal Himself in a way that is perfect. And He's going to reveal Himself in such a way that you can understand His Word. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of Jehovah is tried or tested. In other words, His nature is not one thing, and then His Word is something else. In other words, God is perfect and without flaw, but His Word over here has a bunch of flaws in it. That can't be, because His Word is His nature. One comes from the other. And so we can understand God's Word because of the very nature of God. He speaks in such a way that is clear and complete and perfect. He's not a God of confusion. The point here is that, take Acts 2:38, Mark 16, whatever, hundreds of verses. If there is confusion on that, it is not on God's end of the stick. It's not on His end of the stick. It's not on anything He said. It's not on anything that's in print. It's on our end of the stick. And that's tonight's lesson. That's the problem. The nature of God is complete and perfect. He is not a God of confusion. And so He's not going to reveal something in a way that is confusing. He's not going to reveal something in a way that is less than perfect, either in the manner in which He reveals it or the words themselves. So we can understand the Bible because of the nature of God. He's clear and concise and perfect, and His Word comes from a perfect nature, and so that Word is going to be perfectly revealed and written. We can understand the Bible because of the nature of Scripture. The nature of Scripture is in the direct line from the nature of God. It doesn't skip a beat or it doesn't jump the tracks at this point where you've got a perfect God and He wants to give man His Word, but all of a sudden it jumps the tracks and now we're onto something else that's less than perfect. No, it's the same thing. It's a perfect God and His revelation is perfect. Every scripture is God-breathed. Look at that. Every scripture. Scripture. Now we have something that is scripture. Somebody says, well, I agree with you that the nature of God is perfect. But when we got to the paper side of it, when we got to the writing down part of it, that's where it all broke down. No. Every scripture is God-breathed. He controlled what was in His mind and what He wanted to reveal and what was written down. How could God's Word, how could Scripture be profitable for anything, let alone these things right here, for anything if it is completely confusing and not able to be understood? It's profitable because of the very... That's why it's profitable, because it's God-breathed. If it were a product of man, it would not be profitable in those ways. The nature of man is such that he makes errors. That's why when man writes books, it has typos in it, it has misinformation. There have been encyclopedias that have been published, gone to print, published, sold in stores. You open it up and there's an error in there about information. Why? Because it's a product of man. The Bible is not like that. The Bible is the product of God, but not just His spoken Word, but look at this, Scripture, that is written, that's the written Word. That is also a product of God. He superintends that and watches over that. That's why you can teach someone from this. Listen, if you teach someone, whether it's a parent or a teacher or anything, if you want to teach someone something, doesn't it have to be understandable? And if you want to reprove someone or correct someone or instruct someone, doesn't it have to be understandable? When you get a set of instructions with a product that you buy, the company wants you to follow those instructions. Aren't they supposed to be understandable? And now we're even printing them in multiple languages. They're being printed in multiple languages so that you can understand those instructions. The very thing that God is wanting to accomplish with these four things, teaching, reproof, correction, instruction, it implies that it has to be understandable. The law of Jehovah is perfect, complete. The problem is not on God's side of the equation. So we can understand the Bible. Number one, because of the nature of God. Number two, because of the nature of Scripture. And number three, because of the nature of mankind. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Would God make man in such a way that the nature of man cannot understand His Word, and then He turn right around and speak to man whom He made that can't understand His Word? He turns right around and speaks to man, and when man doesn't understand His Word, then He condemns him for it. Now, what kind of a God would that be? Who makes man in such a way that he can't understand His Word. He turns right around and speaks to man who he made can't understand His Word, and then judges him for not understanding His Word. What a shame. God doesn't do that. Just like God made everything that was good, man was made that way. We are made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we're created in the image of God. And you know what a part of that image is? Being able to communicate. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Before Genesis 1:1, they were all together in eternity. And they could communicate. Let us make man. They could communicate. Communication is a part of being made in the image of God. Personality and communication and many other things. But then God, look at chapter 2. God commanded man. Now wait a minute. God is not going to command man anything unless man, whom He made, is able to understand that command. It's the nature of man. We can understand when God talks to us because He made us that way. And you know the proof of that, where the proof of that is? Look at chapter 3 when the devil comes to Eve and says to Eve, Has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the trees of the garden, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, do not touch it. Obviously, they understood. She understood. She even told the devil God said this, which proves she understood. The nature of man is such that we can hear God and understand in every verse that He reveals. And so, He's made us so that we can seek Him. How do we do that? In part, we do that through His revelation, through the Bible. He made us so that we can seek Him and feel after Him and find Him. That's how we're made. And so, yes, we can understand the Bible because of the nature of God. He's perfect. Because of the nature of Scripture, it is God-breathed. And because of the nature of mankind, we can turn around and tell the devil, listen, we can tell the devil and anybody else that asks us a question, God hath said. You know you can do that? You can tell somebody, God has said. You know why? Because you can understand what God says. And just like she told the devil, we can tell him and anybody else, this is what God says. Because we're made in the image of God, which is the ability to communicate and hear and listen and understand. And that's really what the Scriptures bear out. The common people heard Him gladly. Mark 12:37, when Jesus was preaching. We sang, the gospel is for all. That goes well with our lesson. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel, which they're not going to be able to understand. But you go do that anyway. No. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What's the implication there? Everybody can hear it. Everybody can understand it. And you know what? On the day of Pentecost, God miraculously helped that in that He allowed those apostles to stand up and preach in all kinds of languages. Why? Because God's word can be understood. And you know what's interesting about that? Do you think God had in mind just simply the languages that existed at that time and not 2,000 years later? Today we have all kinds of languages. God, through not only provided for a miraculous Holy Spirit tongue speaking so that there could be different languages, but He's guided providentially that process of His gospel going into all the world. And so we have the gospel in Spanish, and we have the gospel in Arabic, languages that weren't spoken on the day of Pentecost. We have the gospel in Chinese and other kinds of things. Why even do all of that? God's word can be understood. Look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. The church at Colossae could understand the letter that was written to Laodicea. And the church at Laodicea could understand the letter that was written at Colossae. They could swap letters and they could read those things in Greek. And you know, we can understand those words, you see. In Nehemiah chapter 8. Going back to the Old Testament, they gathered together, they asked Ezra if he would read from the book of the law in the presence of the men and the women and those that could understand. And they were attentive. They were attentive. And later it says that the priest explained the meaning so that the people could understand, you see. Give me understanding according to thy word. These Psalms don't make sense if we cannot understand the word of God. In the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23, Jesus, in the parable of the sower, is right on point here with regard to sowing the seed of the Word of God, and it goes into somebody's heart. One of the hearts is called the good soil upon the good ground. That is he that heareth the Word and understandeth it and beareth fruit. The bearing of the fruit is the proof that he understood that. Now, we can understand the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10, hear and understand. Why say that, Jesus, if it can't be done on a practical daily basis? Matthew 24 verse 15, quoting from Daniel, let him that readeth understand. When Luke wrote to Theophilus, he wrote in such a way that you may know the certainty concerning the things wherein you were instructed. Well, we have two different opinions here on a verse, and we really can't understand the Bible alike, so we don't need to press our point and say that the other person is wrong and that type of thing. That's an unchristian-like spirit and things like that. And you know, the Church of Christ, they're always kind of known for that, always putting other people down and things like that. They think they're the only ones going to heaven and things like that. So they always put other people down who don't have the same understanding that they do on that verse. I've heard that from the mouths of individuals. I'm not making that up. So it puts us in a position to talk about these kinds of things. What are we talking about? Well, I don't want to have any more certainty than what Luke talks about. I want to be certain about what is being instructed here. And God's word can be understood, and then that gives us certainty to say, this is what this verse is saying. Now tonight, we're going to talk about how that we can understand what a verse means. We may apply it differently in some other areas. We did a little bit of that this morning in our Bible class. How might we apply what this verse means? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about we can understand what words in a verse mean. Application, secondary application, there may be some differences on how we might carry that out on a daily basis. But we know what that verse means. Jesus said to the Jews, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth. You can know it, you see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, I write no other things than what you read and understand. What I'm writing to you, you can read it and you can understand it. And then the scripture that I asked Brandon to read, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. I want you to notice two things about this verse. Notice that when you read, you can understand. But notice something else. This is extremely important. And this goes out to all of our friends who say, well, your understanding of it can be different than my understanding of it. And as long as we love Jesus, all of that's fine. No, there's a second thing here that you've got to be careful of. Otherwise, you'll just skip over it real quick. It's whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. In other words, when we read, when person A reads what Paul said, and person B reads what Paul said, they both have Paul's understanding of what God wanted. So there is a coming together right there at that point. It's not a matter of, well, we both read what Paul says, but then later, you know, God accepts all these. No, it's we're all coming on a singular understanding. And it can be done. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said that you can do it. And so later, a couple of chapters later, be not foolish or ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? It's what I'm writing. And when you read it, you can understand my understanding. Why? Because that by revelation was made known unto me. Look, Jesus revealed something to Paul. He turned around and wrote that down, and they could understand his understanding. They could read that and perceive it, his understanding of the mystery, the revelation of Christ. And so, yes, we do have to come to a singular point there. Not multiple understandings are allowed. So what are some essentials now? Let's look at this and then the lesson will be yours. Turn with me to John chapter 7. We've established that God's word can be understood. I want to look now at a few essentials that are necessary for us to come together on an understanding of what Paul revealed or anybody else. The first one is a will to want to do God's will, a will to know the truth, a will to want to understand what God says. If I don't will that, if I don't desire that, then that's not going to happen. If I go into a Bible study already saying in my mind, I really am not searching for the truth and a proper understanding, then that's not going to happen. In John chapter 7, verse 17, if any man willeth or desireth to do his will, He shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. I have to set out to desire to know God's will. Now, what's that going to take? It's going to take some searching. I'm not just going to accept the first thing that the person tells me. I want to know God's will. I don't want to know something else, you see? And so I'm going to desire that, and I'm going to search for that. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek and you shall find." It's got to be there. If I just sort of take this nonchalant, casual approach, well, yeah, if you want to study, that's fine. And okay, I'll listen, you know. And okay, I hear, well, but I just don't see it that way. We're really not desiring to know God's Word and God's will. We've got to start right there. That is an essential. Number two, we have to be willing to hear everything. Not just make up our mind quickly after one verse is read or after one preacher finishes a sermon. I have to hear all things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Here's where some work starts to be had. And most people don't want to do all this work. They don't want to read from Matthew to Revelation before they make up their mind. They don't want to read all of the book of Acts to decide what does it take to become a Christian. They don't want, that's too much work, and I've got to watch TV and read the paper and drink a cup of coffee. I don't have time to do all of that kind of thing. Well, the problem with that is I'm going to come short of hearing something that I need to hear. I need to hear all things that Jesus has for me. Of course, Peter preaches this in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Moses indeed said, "A prophet shall the Lord," the prophecy from Deuteronomy 18 there that is applied to Christ, "a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, likened unto me. To him you shall hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you." One of the biggest problems with two people sitting down and not understanding something is that one or both have not studied everything in the Scripture about that topic. Take faith only. They were told somewhere by a preacher somewhere that you're saved by faith only and baptism is not necessary. Well, they were just told that, and they didn't do any searching. They didn't read anything else. And so when we come to a verse on baptism, they've already been told that faith only, and I've just stopped right there. I haven't heard all things. I haven't heard the whole story, you see. So when I come to Acts 2:38, well, baptism is not necessary. Why? You've got to understand the things that are going on in the background, the things that are going on in their previous life, the way that they've been trained and raised. That's what's hindering the process. It's not God. It's not His Word. And so we have to erase all of that. If that's the way we've been trained and raised, we've got to erase all of that and start with a blank slate. Number one, I want to know what God says, not Chris or anybody else. I want to know what God says. Number two, I'm going to listen to everything on this topic. I'm going to hear everything before I make up my mind. And that might mean cleaning the slate with what my parents taught me, what the pastor says, what my good friends are always saying. Just clean slate. I'm going to listen to everything on this subject. Number three, help me out. Help me out. There may be someone who's already studied these things and read these things, and we can get help from somebody. In Acts chapter 8, I don't believe Philip would have granted this request had it not been important. And so we can have somebody guide us or help us. And in Acts chapter 8, with regard to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 30, Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you read?" Well, there would be no reason to ask that question if the Bible is not understandable. And he said, "How can I?" The eunuch said, "How can I except someone guide me?" And Philip besought him, and he besought Philip, to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage that he was reading was this, and then Isaiah 53. And then look at verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this, of himself or of some other?" Notice that when they got done reading, the eunuch had a follow-up question about what they read. So you're having a Bible study with someone, and then somebody asks a follow-up question. Are we able to answer that? Well, what does that word mean? What does that phrase mean? We've got to be ready for a follow-up question. Now, depending upon if we're a babe in Christ or someone, Hebrews 5:11, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, if there's someone over here down here who has grown to the point of being a teacher of God's Word, they begin to answer those follow-up questions. And then here's where the guidance comes in. And the Bible says, well, let's turn over here and find the answer to that question. Or let's study this word, you see. And so what did Philip do? He, beginning with this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. What was he doing? Guiding and answering questions. And the eunuch came to an understanding of needing to be baptized. So, James 3:1, Hebrews 5:11, Acts 13:1, teachers in the church. Teachers, you see. Teachers. These are individuals who can help, who have sat and learned from others, previous generations, have read things, all of God's Word, have learned what words mean, you see. And then begin to answer those questions and guide individuals to the truth of God's Word. We've got to be willing and open to be guided from time to time. And I need to be as well. I'm guided. I learn. People teach me. And we all need to be like that. Then we need to keep our minds open. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. A lot of times when we sit down with someone, it's the same verse, but we have opposite understandings of it. You see, the same verse, opposite understandings. A lot of it is because our mind has been made up based upon what we've been taught in the past. And those of us in the church, we need to keep our minds open as well. We need to keep our minds open. But readiness of mind. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They examined the scriptures. We're going to have an understanding of what God wants by coming back to the scriptures that Paul is using. But I have a readiness of mind. That means I am open to what is being said here. And if you look at Acts chapter 17, look at what Paul's approach was. Look at verse 3. My version says, opening and alleging that it behooved the Christ to suffer. One version says, explaining. Here's the guiding. Here's the teaching. But when the explaining is going on, my mind needs to be ready to those explanations. And if it's contrary to what I've been taught, then it's contrary to what I've been taught. And we just need to say, I was taught wrong. Because my readiness of mind is going to be willing to accept the truth that is being presented. There are three things that are open here in this verse, Acts 17 and verse 12. There was an open Bible. They examined the scriptures. An open schedule. They did it daily. They weren't so busy that they didn't have time to look at it. And then an open mind or readiness of mind. And that's essential to coming to a proper understanding of God's Word. We need to give diligent attention. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Sometimes individuals will make comments about things that are in the Bible. The problem is they haven't given attention to the details. And they'll make a comment. Shannon was talking about a comment that he had heard recently. And comments are made about Bible matters. One thing that comes to my mind when I hear things like that, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, well, that person was not paying attention to this particular verse or this particular word. And I've had to do that. I've held beliefs before about things. And somebody has said to me, Well, Chris, did you consider this word over here? No. Let me consider that. Let me take a look at that. You see, give attention. And so a lot of times when two people sit down, there's opposite ends of the extreme. It's because one or both have not given attention to, well, what does this Greek word mean? What does this Hebrew word mean? What is this verse over here, you see? And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, till I come, give heed, pay close attention to reading, the public reading of Scripture, exhortation to teaching. Look at verse 16. Take heed to thyself and thy teaching. Careful attention. Well, I don't have time for that. Could you just give me sort of the Cliff Notes version to the plan of salvation? I don't want to look at the details. No, you've got to read carefully. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. The King James says, study to show thyself approved. Other versions say, give diligence to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. I want to focus on that give diligence. It's the idea of spoudazo. It means to work hard at, meticulously, hard work. Our study, whether we're preparing to teach a class or being a student in a class, it needs to be hard work. And you know what? It'll pay off. All hard work does. Our secular work and our spiritual work. Hard work pays off, and our young people need to learn that. Hard work in the study of Scripture will pay off. You know what one of the biggest payoffs will be? We'll have a same understanding of God's Word. And then, last of all, it takes experience. It takes knowledge. It takes years of study and learning and growth. And you know what is one of the most disappointing things to me? Is when you're having a study with someone, and they're either a very new convert that knows very little bit about the Bible, or there's someone out in the denominational world that knows very little bit about the Bible, but when they come to you on the meaning of this particular verse, they know everything about that. Because my pastor told me such and such. Well, wait a minute now. Do you have years of learning and teaching and understanding and word study and things like that? No, I don't have any of that, but that's what that verse means. Well, what has been your experience? And have you been adding to your knowledge and that type of thing? And so it's essential, brother. I continue to learn and grow. I continue to make sure I have a proper understanding because of the more that I've learned by teaching a book and things like that. My point is simply this, that we need to take very seriously when someone is talking about the meaning of a particular verse, and they have years and years and years of teaching and experience and Bible study and understanding, we need to take that very seriously. Over this other person who hasn't studied all of that and is just, I just think that's what that means. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, there is an expected point in our life based upon that passage where we all need to be teaching something. And when by reason of time, look at that, when by reason of time, there's some time that goes along where you have experience in teaching and learning and understanding the Word of God. Verse 15, who have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And that's the use of God's Word to learn right and wrong in daily living. But by reason of time. And then you add into that 2 Peter 1, 5. Add to your faith knowledge. 2 Peter 3, 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge. That's essential to a proper understanding of God's Word. In other words, if I have been taught wrong, and I'm relatively new to this particular Bible matter, I need to be very careful in asserting, well, this is what I believe about this verse, when I'm talking to someone who has years and years and years of teaching God's Word. Now, we might just happen to luck on to the right understanding of God's Word, being very inexperienced, but the chances are not likely. It comes through experience and knowledge and growth, and that is extremely essential. And when we have those things, the bottom line is, yes, we can understand God's Word, and we can understand it alike. I want to close with just two verses, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. One has to do with obeying the gospel, and the other one doesn't. Just to prove a point. Can God speak in such a way that His Word can be understood? We might be thinking, well, you know, there's 6 billion people on the face of the earth. I could see maybe a handful agreeing, but come on now, you're going to get 6 billion people, you know, to agree in that type of thing. Well, probably not 6 billion people, but you know, you can get a whole lot of people. In Judges chapter 7 and verse 3, when God said, we have way too many people to go fight against the Midianites, we don't need these people. They might be thinking that they're going to win by their might and not by mine. So we're going to reduce this crowd. The first thing you do is you go tell everybody that's fearful to go home. And when Gideon did that, the text said that 22,000 people heard that and went home. They understood. You can get a crowd to understand God's word. It's not hard. You can get a crowd to understand God's word. And then you come over to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. We're not talking about just maybe like the group here this morning, or maybe just sort of a handful. We're talking about 3,000 people heard Peter, and they all understood that they needed to repent and be baptized. Yes, large crowds can come to the same agreement on what God is saying. And so we want to encourage you this morning. I want to be encouraged that we can understand God's word alike. And I want to close with this thought, that this lesson this morning is not just an us versus them lesson. It's not just about us versus the denominations. You know what this lesson is about? It's about, can Janice Lovelady and I understand the Bible alike? Can Ken Baker and I understand? It's for us too. It's not just us versus the denomination. It's for us too. So Larry and I are going to sit down. We're going to look at a Bible verse. Can we understand the Bible alike? These things are for us. They're for us. They're also for other people. But it starts with us. And we have to sit down and understand the Bible alike. And it's not just a matter of, well, that's a lesson just for people who need to become Christians. No, no. I've had, in fact, in the past 10 years or so, on matters of marriage and divorce and other kinds of topics, they had nothing to do with the plan of salvation. And I'm having to sit down with somebody and understand the Bible alike. So it's not just on matters of how to be saved, but all Bible matters. We can understand the Bible alike. Now, if we're not, then that's the subject of another lesson, and that's this evening. Why is it that some people don't? And we'll look at that this evening. But for this morning, we're encouraged that yes, we can answer that in the affirmative and very firmly because of the nature of God, the nature of Scripture, and the nature of humanity. We can understand every word that God gives us. And if you need to, in understanding that this morning, come and respond, we would encourage you. Or if you need to come back in some way, we would encourage you. And for those of you who are living right, let's make sure whenever we get together with one of ourselves or someone else and we open that Bible between us, we have this understanding that we can understand God's word alike. We may need to help someone else see these things that are essential. We may need to have some things in our own lives. You know, you go back down through that list of six or so things and you may think, well, you know, there's one of those things in there that I need a little bit more of. And so I put that into practice. And we come out, the fruit of our work is we have a proper understanding of God's word and we understand that alike. If we can assist you in any way, if we can help you in some way to understand and obey God's word, why won't you come as we stand and sing?